Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
Matt had to struggle there to recall his own name.
I didn't realize it was starting that quickly. I was sort of like not in the headspace. But I'm ready now.
Don't Matt's riffing just on a personal conversation, and then out of nowhere, I just go, hello, my name is Jonathan Cook. And Matt's like, what?
Yeah. So we're back.
Yes, last week we reviewed Game of Thrones, arguably the biggest show on television. Now we're going to review arguably the biggest film at the box office, or at least the second highest grossing film at the box office of all time. Yes, I just went to boxofficemojo.com. It is Avengers Endgame.
Whoa! This is the end.
This is the end. So many movies. I don't know how many movies, but a lot has been building up to this. I don't think it's really going to be the final in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because they all make $2 billion at the box office and no one's going to throw that away. But at least the end of this sort of arc, I would say.
Yeah. I think it's that this is the end of, like, I don't know, Phase 1 or Vector 1 or, like, the first iteration or so, like, you know. So this is really just the end of the beginning.
Indeed. And were you excited, Matt? Are you invested in the MCU?
I was, actually. I was not, like, I liked Iron Man. I really liked that movie. But then didn't really get into the other Marvel movies. I was sort of like, yeah, no, whatever. But then I've watched a lot of them over the past sort of 5 or 6 years, like from pretty much Guardians of the Galaxy on, probably not Guardians of the Galaxy on, actually. I read sort of 4-3. And then I watched a couple, and I then started to get into it and loved how they made all these little connections and how they created this universe. And it was sort of like just fun. So I never went into many of the movies with huge expectations it was going to be an amazing movie, but I just like enjoyed myself for a lot of them. And I've gotten to the point where I really look forward to a lot of the Marvel movies, and I really love this universe they've created. And they've sort of turned something that's just a bit of a fun popcorn thing into one of the most probably ambitious things we've seen in cinema.
Yeah, I feel kind of the same way. I didn't realize how big a fan I was until I went through them and realized I'd seen nearly all of them. So I caught up, and I've now seen all of them except for Captain Marvel. I'm sorry, it's not an anti-Captain Marvel thing. I just didn't get around to it at the time. I left it too late, and it wasn't available. It was Endgame kind of came out in that weird period of I can no longer see it at the cinema, but it's too early for it to be out on iTunes. So I'll catch up eventually. They kind of bring you up to speed in Endgame. So that wasn't too important.
I was at a dinner party like a month ago, and someone said, like, and we were talking about movies and stuff. I said, I haven't seen Captain Marvel yet. And then the person at the dinner party, one of the people, she said, oh, you're not one of those, are you? What are you talking about? Like, people who, like, won't see it because it's a woman. Like, no! Like, I was sort of, like, thought I was sharing that, you know, like, sort of, like, oh, I've been meaning to see it sort of thing. It was just all my friends had already seen it with other people.
Look, I saw Wonder Woman. It was great. Best DC film since The Dark Knight. Give me a break.
We gave Gal Gadot its SV nomination. Like,
yeah.
Anyway. So Jonathan, get on it, because it's a good one, Captain Marvel.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. And a lot of people say, oh, aren't you sick of all these superhero movies, Marvel movies? And in some ways you could say, you would think that it would start to tire. But if anything, the recent ones have been the best.
Mm. Yeah, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man Homecoming. I think they are three. Those three definitely be in my top 10 and all be contending for my top 5 Marvel movies.
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok.
Infinity War. That is in that same league.
Absolutely. So they're on a roll. Let's see if they can keep it rolling with Endgame. Did the finale of this phase live up to the hype? So we'll hit you with a quick spoiler alert, because it has been out for a little while. Yeah. So do that now. Spoiler alert! Avengers spoilers coming at you. Quick spoiler note, I did pretty well to avoid any spoilers before seeing this film, because I was a couple of weeks late and I had my spidey senses around me. You know, if I swear I could just sense while I was scrolling on Facebook, I'd be like, nah, I gotta go past this one. Our friend Cristobal has been on the podcast. I'm sorry, but I scrolled over everything you posted for weeks because you are not trustworthy.
Yeah, I did super well avoiding spoilers too. Because I only saw it this week, and all I knew going in was Tony Stark does something big, and I'd heard a lot of people say, "Oh, it's sort of similar to the Battle for Winterfell in Game of Thrones," but it wasn't really similar to that at all. So,
so I did get one spoiler, one that was not true.
Yeah.
So we kick off half the universe, or the living things on the universe have just disappeared. Thanos has completed his plan at the end of the last film. We open up on Jeremy Renner, and his whole family seems to go missing. So they lost a few coin flips there, not just half the family, but everybody else.
Bad luck for
Hawkeye. Yep.
Yeah.
We've got Ant-Man, who is in the quantum realm. He pops back out, and he doesn't know what's going on. He's got to catch up on everything.
They thought he had died in the thing.
Yeah, people thought he was lost in the happening, the snappening. And the world does not seem to be handling this well. It's almost apocalyptic. Did you think that the world would be that bad with half the people disappearing? Because Thanos thought that it would make the world a better place. Look, the world's overpopulated. Sure, millions of people dying is sad, but we're not going to, you know, use up the world's resources, and there'll be more space for everybody, and the population will thrive. It did not look like they were thriving 5 years on.
No, I feel like Thanos haven't thought this through. I feel like he was a bit lazy, right? Like to go, the world's not, or the universe isn't great. I'll just click my fingers and eliminate half of everyone. You're going to still get a lot of bad dudes that are going to win some of those coin flips. So I'm not sure if like you're going to get rid of all the problems of the world just by randomly killing half of everyone. He sort of almost needs his like Santa Claus list of naughty and nice and to go through it. So I think that's an issue. And I also just think, like, is there an overpopulation problem? Do we have too many people? That's like an interesting discussion. But really, like, the world is running on the number of people we have right now. You just randomly eliminate half of them, some things are going to fall through the cracks. Like, there's going to be things that we've built that we're reliant upon that is just, you know, there's going to be certain industries where we lose like a lot of the people that are trained in those industries, and the demand won't be met and stuff. And I guess on the population thing, like, it's not like the world doesn't have enough food for everyone in the world now. It's the distribution. Like, it's sort of the reason we're not thriving is because we can't work together well. Like, it's sort of not really got to do with too many people, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad plan from Thanos.
Yeah, there's ongoing effects because let's say you're a big fan of boy bands. It's not like half the boy bands get to stay and half the boy bands go. Like, members of all the boy bands are going to go. Like, half of One Direction's no direction at all.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it's just wreaked absolute havoc across the country. People aren't taking garbage away anymore. That's just how upset people are over this Thanos business. And some of the Avengers think, look, we got to go get Thanos, fix this somehow. And some of them are like, look, it's happened. We just got to move on and live our lives. And so I guess the opening is trying to get some of the people together to go to track down Thanos and go get after him.
Yeah. So like Ant-Man rocks up and he goes, guys, you wallowing around, time machine.
Why hasn't anybody thought of this before?
Yeah.
And I like how everybody's reaction is, time machines, that's crazy. And I'm like, you exist in a universe with giant purple guys that can click their fingers and make half the universe's living things disappear. Like, time machines all of a sudden don't sound that crazy.
Yeah. So they take it to Tony Stark. Because he's like, who's going to, you know, who do we think of? We need to say someone smart. He's like, oh, who's that? And then cut to Tony Stark. And they pitch him the idea. And he's like, nah, look, I've got a wife. I've got a kid. Things are pretty good. Let's cool it on the time machine. We're risking too much, you know. I think, like, Tony Stark is sort of at the point where he's like, we went to the casino. We lost half our money. Why would we bet the other half on it? Like, you know, like we've got to keep what we've got. It's too, you know, we've got to learn. Look, we lost. We can't afford to lose everything else.
Look, we've still got Zane. It's sad that we lost the other members. But, you know, he'll do solo music and we'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's
and yet very big risk for Tony Stark with his boy band thing because he had a daughter. Think of your daughter growing up in a world, Tony Stark, with no fully formed boy bands.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Does he have the? Because they do go after Thanos. I can't remember at which point he has the. If he already has the daughter, but some of them do go after Thanos. You've got Captain Marvel.
Oh, Thor. Yeah, we missed that.
And they track him down. They say, oh, we read some power surge. That must be from the Infinity Stones. And he's just chilling. What is he doing? He's peeling some potatoes or something. he's living the farm life. He's moved to the country after succeeding in his evil plan. He's decided to settle down. And doesn't put up a fight. The Avengers show up and Thor's like, whiching, chops his head off. And I'm like, what? We've been talking about this bad guy for ages and you kill off the big bad guy in the first like 15 minutes of the movie? What the heck's this movie going to be about?
I had a theory at this point that was way off. Like,
hit me.
I assumed he'd used a reality stone, the reality stone Thanos. To make them think they'd killed him or whatever. Oh, that was all like, you know, an illusion sort of thing.
Yeah, I thought that for just a second.
Oh.
But then just the tone and the way it played out, I was like, oh, no, that's not going to be the reveal later on. Like, it felt to me like they'd really killed him.
I think once they're talking about time travel, I'm like, oh, that's how they bring Thanos back. Like, I think so. I thought that's where they were going until there was the time travel element introduced. I guess, like, Thanos chilling back. He's killed half of the universe. And he's like, you're welcome, guys. I'm just going to get it right off into the sunset. So Tony Stark, he's not keen on the idea. Then I think he looks at a photo of Spider-Man and thinks, oh, yeah, forgot about him. And then he spends about 10 minutes and designs the time machine.
Yeah, it did. The film sort of brought up some interesting questions about, you know, sort of looking at things on a macro or micro level, because in some ways him looking at that picture and then him deciding to change his approach to it is insane. Billions of people have died. All of whom with other billions of people that love them just as much as he loved Peter Parker. So the fact that he doesn't want to do it for all those people, but he wants to do it for his connection, kind of makes no sense, and yet makes total sense at the same time, because we're humans, and that's how we make our decisions. So
yes,
he is sort of kind of this scientific, crazy genius, billionaire, renegade guy who loves physics and numbers, etc. But he's kind of, he's still just as human as the rest of us.
He has a heart.
Yeah. It might be made out of physics and numbers, but he has one.
Yeah. And I think they really had him against this idea at the beginning because they really love in the Marvel Universe selling us, hey, Tony, he appears like he doesn't care. He's a bit gruff. He sort of doesn't want to admit it. But at the end of the day, he's the most loving guy of them all.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of movies they've sold us this.
So he cracks it. He tinkers around and he cracks time travel.
Yeah. So the plan is let's go back in time to some other Avengers movies and other Marvel movies, and we'll get the Infinity Stones all before Thanos gets them, take them into the future, use them to undo Thanos killing half everyone, so we'll click the fingers to make everyone come back to life, which I didn't know that was. But I saw the first one a while ago. I haven't seen every single Marvel movie. I was a bit like, oh, I didn't know that, like, the stones you could just, you know, do a click and reverse it. But anyway, and yeah, that's sort of the plan. And then we take them back to the time when we stole them, so that Thanos can still steal it, kill half of everyone, so we can bring everyone back later. Like, we got everything to play out as it did, because, like, that also led to Thanos dying, and we need Thanos to die. I don't know. It got a little confusing, the time travel stuff, I'm not going to lie.
I like this. I like this a lot, because it kind of gave a new importance to previous films and previous events, and we got to view them and go back to them from a different perspective with a different objective. And I don't think you needed to have seen all the previous ones to understand what was going on, but it was a nice little extra if you had. You'd be like, oh, I remember this, and oh, they're sneaking past these people, and this is what happened last time, but this time we're going to go here and get one of the stones. So I thought this was a good plan. I thought this tied in well to the series. I think some of the adventures were more interesting than others. You might be able to help me remember them. For example, one of them was just trying to convince Tilda Swinton to give it over.
Yeah.
That was one of the less interesting ones.
Definitely less interesting. I liked how she wasn't keen. I liked how the thing that convinced her was him going, oh, Doctor Strange just gave Thanos the stone. And she was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this is, like, I thought that was an important beat. So I think something good came out of that, but that was the only thing I liked about that one.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones was the, I can't remember which timeline this is, but in the tower where they're trying to get it past all the SWAT people, and yeah. Captain America ends up fighting Captain America. That was pretty good, and he thinks it's Loki doing his shape shifting thing or whatever it is. But then if he sees, what does he has? He's got that little locket thing or whatever on him of the woman that he loves that he didn't get to be with in the 40s or whatever. So that was pretty entertaining. What are some of the stone heists?
So we have that one where that's a big scene, the one with Captain America and Iron Man and all that crew. There is the, is it the Soul Stone? The one where Black Widow or Jeremy Renner had to give up their life, and rather than we see a fight not to kill the other person out of like hatred, but we see sort of a fight out of love where they're both attacking each other so they can be the one to give up their life, which is sort of a bit of a twist on a sort of superhero fight. I thought that Jeremy Renner was going to die. I was a bit surprised when it was Scarlett Johansson or Black Widow, because I'd heard they're doing like an origin movie of her and things like that, or I don't know. I don't even know that's true. Like, you know, because I've sort of been avoiding spoilers and things. But so I sort of thought, oh, yeah, they're probably going to have her be a big part of the franchise moving forward. And, you know, but no, she gave the life of Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, that was an interesting take on it. And they have an interesting relationship as well, because they're not together. He has a wife and family that he loves. But there's a certain kind of love that he has for her too. And he wanted to sacrifice himself, but she out-sacrificed. She was the better sacrifice-y. Sacrificer? Yeah. Sacrifice-y? Sacrifice-y, I'll go with. And... yeah, definitely one of the bigger emotional moments of the film. I was never the hugest fan of her character. I enjoyed her, but I was not invested in her the same way I was Iron Man or Peter Parker or Thor. But it was still a sad death. It was somewhat unexpected.
But it was sort of the Dud Avengers, right? They were the two that didn't really have any superpowers or any super cool – like, he could shoot arrows and she could just, like – like, put people in a headlock with their legs. Like, sort of their skills. Like,
yeah. I mean, Jason Bourne is really freaking cool, unless he's standing next to Thor.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, they, I like them, but, yeah. Do you reckon, like, people were pretty cool not to make, like, Jeremy Renner feel bad, like, when he got back? Like, I was like, bit of a jerk move letting her take it, buddy. Guess she wanted it more.
It did not appear so. It seemed like people were sort of more focusing on the loss than the zinger at his expense at that sad time. Okay. Maybe in the director's cut.
Yeah. And so they go back into what are the other stones that they need? Oh, they go back to Guardians of the Galaxy. And they see Star-Lord dancing without the backing track, which I thought was sort of cool because he looks so cool in the movie. But now from this perspective, we realize like, oh, yeah, whenever anyone's like dancing and singing along to earbuds, they like look like the biggest goose in the world. Like,
that was pretty good. Let's see. There was quite a lot on – I'm going to forget her name, but was it – what's Gamora's sister? The one that kind of looks like a robot?
The blue one.
Yeah, we should
know. I don't think that's the name, though.
I feel like we should know the answer to that question. Mm. Her name was... who knows? Anyway, so she becomes kind of an important part of it because she does kind of have... electronic parts to her, and she is so Thanos is her father, right?
Yeah.
And Thanos and that weird looking bad guy notice that she's kind of like malfunctioning, and something is going on between her where memories or visions from one timeline is being passed to another timeline through whatever is going on in her head. And so Thanos from whatever the year is, let's just say 2014, figures out what's going on in 2020.
Yeah, he can just watch the first half of the movie, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, someone, it's like he got sent a screener of, like, Avengers Endgame.
He goes, I don't like where this is headed. I gotta go change the ending.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're trying to fix the prequel. He's trying to fix the sequel.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, no, so it's pretty, that's pretty interesting. They then capture her and they thought, oh, well, let's swap the old one of her with the new one of her, send the evil one of her back in time, forward in time. She can play dumb and then blow the plan. It's a pretty good plan of Thanos, actually. I like this.
Yeah, Thanos is a smart guy. Thanos is no easy foe. And The team's not really at full strength either because Thor got fat. He's not the motivated, sober Thor we once knew. He's in a bit of a funk. That did bring us a scene with, what's his name? The Rock guy? Who's the Rock guy?
Is it Korg?
I was such a big fan of Korg in Thor Ragnarok. I nominated him for a Screen Verdict Award. Taika Waititi, who actually directed Thor Ragnarok, also voiced Korg. Funniest character in the film. Perhaps the funniest character in any of the Marvel films.
He's pretty good.
He was pretty funny in this too. I don't think he was quite as good, but I still enjoyed him playing video games and then Thor yelling at the kids that were being mean to Thor, that would be mean to Korg, threatening them for him. That was quite funny.
Yeah, I would have liked to see more of him, to be honest.
Yeah, they should have brought him on the adventure. Like, he should have been like in the fight at the end.
Yeah, he should have been in the fight at the end. He may have even should have been with the Guardians of the Galaxy at the end too. I think that he'd be a fun character to meet them. But anyway.
So let's see. So this kind of, how does this come to a head? It, obviously we need to, they're getting the stones and Thanos is like, nah, not going to happen. And there's a showdown. It all comes to a head.
Yeah. She brings that. So they are able to, I think they're like the Hulk. He's the only one who can withstand the glove. He's the only one who can make the click. So the Hulk whacks it on, does his click, and he's like, and then, I don't know, Jeremy Renner's wife calls him and they're like, yeah, we think it works. And then the evil blue chick opens up the time thing or whatever and brings Thanos in. So Thanos can, like, get the thing back and kill everyone again. And he's got a new plan. He goes, yeah, killing half of everyone didn't fix the world's problems at all. Solution, I'm going to kill all the universe's inhabitants.
Yeah.
We'll start afresh.
Need a clean start.
And they're like, well, but then they'll have started on a history of bloodshed. And he goes, yeah, but I won't tell them that.
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess Thanos doesn't subscribe to better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. He was like, look, only having the memory of One Direction is just too much to bear. We need to scrap everything so no one has the pain of a memory of One Direction and a world without them. We just need to start anew.
Start anew. I'll tell everyone that, you know, guys, you were created by, you know, a wonderful unicorn that loved everyone and sunflowers and stuff like that. And
so he comes and he brings an army. They bring all the bad guys, but with the snapping reversed, we've also got all the good guys. And that was definitely one of the best moments of the film, where you see the portals opening up, Doctor Strange doing his circle-y things.
How does Doctor Strange make the circle-y things? I didn't get that.
I don't know. That's just the power he has that he learned to do in Doctor Strange. Did you see Doctor Strange?
Yeah, but he doesn't need the time stone for that?
No, that's something he can already do.
Okay, cool. Sorry. I'm not on top of all the details from all the Marvel movies, even the ones I've seen. Okay, so he opens up the things. Everyone comes back. We've got Black Panther. We've got Spider-Man. We've got Mary-Kate Olsen or whatever. Or is it Ashley? One of the Olsen twins. They're all there to save the day.
All right, which one is it? I'm trying to find it. Nah,
this isn't. We've got a full house of heroes.
I was trying to find the music because that was the best part, because they use it in like all the different movies at some point. And then when the portals open up and all the people flood through, and then it goes. I really want to hum it, but I can't think of it. Can you think? How does the Avengers song go?
Yeah. It's dun 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 dun, or something like that. I think I got a few of the notes wrong.
You're like, don't worry, I've got you covered, and then just totally botched it.
Well, Okay.
Well, should have found that beforehand. That's an error on my part. you're all humming it in your heads at home. You're picturing it, and it's a pretty epic moment. That's where you're cutting.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. As much as I love the theme, not as good as Game of Thrones. Dun 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 dun. I can remember that one. So there you go. 1 point to Game of Thrones if we're competing, which apparently we are, as of now.
Yeah.
Being
a competition, Game of Thrones would like to quietly exit from now.
Yeah, they're out to an early lead, but very possible Avengers claws them back.
So they have this big battle. It's an epic battle. We see a lot of people doing some cool things. Yeah,
awesome. And it's kind of like keep the stones away from Thanos. And there is a bit of a problem, though, because even if you get the stones and want to use the stones, it releases such a powerful force that most people aren't able to handle it. So, it took a lot out of Thanos. It took a lot out of the Hulk. And in this big fight trying to get to the stones, keep it away from Thanos, Captain America, Iron Man, gets a hold of it, and he uses the stones. And all of the bad guys just kind of disintegrate into the dust like they did at the end of Infinity War. And everyone's like, yay, this time it's the bad guys. We got them, guys. But Tony Stark, it took a lot out of him.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's true. So, yeah, it's interesting. He's sort of like because Thanos thought he had the glove, and then he looks down at all the things, all the stones are off it. I feel like, Tony Stark's done a, Penn and Teller masterclass or something like that. He's done the old sleight of hand move. And then Tony Stark's glove could put them on as well. Like, he had that built into his suit that it could.
Yeah, the technology in his suit, it's always kind of like popping out and shifting and shaping and weapons, gadgets.
He thought ahead.
Yeah, this was part of the plan.
Yeah, but he gives up his life, a big hero moment for Tony Stark. Spider-Man's on the scene to say, hey, we won, buddy. And his wife, Gwyneth Paltrow, is there to, be there when he dies.
Look, I get it. Your wife and mother of your children watching you die, objectively, much sadder. But personally, I was way more affected by Peter Parker having to say goodbye to Tony Stark. Because that was kind of the emotional high point of the last film. Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. And he had to watch Spider-Man drift away. And now Spider-Man's back, but he has to watch Iron Man pass away, who is kind of his hero, his mentor, and hero.
Yeah. So, super sad, powerful moment. Also, when Iron Man, Thanos was like, when he was, he clicked and then realized the things went on, and he's like, this, I am inevitable or something like that. And then, Tony Stark was, I am Iron Man.
Dun, 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 dun. Love it. Love the theme. Yeah, so Iron Man passes away. There's a funeral for Iron Man, and oh man, this got me.
Everyone's there, and they're standing in the like groups of their like movies. Like it's sort of like it's sort of like it reminded me of like you know like I'm trying to remember what like almost like a reality show reunion where they've like sort of like clumped people together for the pan shot, like. You know, you got all the amazing race teams sort of like sort of standing with their partner as they pan around. And then they've just got the one group. This isn't an amazing race analogy anymore, but then you've got the one group of just the odd people who didn't really have their own movie and just were odd. Like.
It kind of felt like wedding tables. You're like, oh, am I at 14? You're like, no, this is the Guardians table. You're 16. That's Captain America.
Yeah.
And there is a holographic message left by Tony Stark for his family and for his little girl. And I gotta say, when he tells her, as she told him at the start of the movie, I love you 3000, I did lose it. I did some sunscreen at the exact same time, kind of dripped into my eye. My eye stung. Yeah. It was a real, it was just like a whole thing, to be honest.
You're tearing up a bit now.
Yeah. No, well done. Well done, guys. It's very impressive to make me care that much about a character that didn't exist until the start of this movie.
Oh, the kid. Right. I was talking about Iron Man.
Yeah. It's through Iron Man, of course, which I've grown attached to over, I don't know how many installments he's been in, 6 or 7 probably. But yes, I thought that was very well done.
Yeah. I thought she was going to die, to be honest, the girl.
Oh, no.
Which is a silly pretty. I thought that maybe it would be that, like, by affecting time, that maybe she wouldn't have ever been born, and that was sort of Tony Stark's.
What do you think this is, Game of Thrones?
Own life. What, sorry?
I said, what do you think this is, Game of Thrones? They're not going to kill off the kid in a Marvel movie.
Okay. No, it was a stupid thing. I think halfway through, as that probably wasn't going to happen, but like I did think that when they were really emphasizing that relationship early on and talking about time travel, I'm like, oh, no. Here's a question, though. So they kill – it clicks – two questions. The first one clicks the fingers – like, so now you can just choose who you want to die. It's not random, so that's cool. Like, maybe Thanos could have put more thought into who he killed when he clicked his. And secondly, so they kill Thanos when he clicks the fingers, right? Yes. So that's Thanos from the past, isn't it?
That would be... I forget the exact dates, but yeah, I think that would be the 2014 Thanos.
So does that mean Thanos never gets the Infinity Stones?
That is the question with time travel. It's how many timelines are there? Is there just one timeline, but then someone uses time travel that creates a second timeline, or are there infinite timelines?
Yeah.
Is there always another Thanos coming? I'm not sure this film... spent as much time explaining the logic of how their time travel works as other time travel movies do. And to be honest, the movie was long enough.
Yeah, I think it was largely a good call. That was the one question I had from it. And I do think, I don't know, maybe when they return the Infinity Stones, it still sets, like, yeah, but it just, I don't get how Thanos is able to die twice.
Well, 2014 Thanos dies then, and 2020 Thanos, or whatever year it's supposed to be, died at the start of the film. So, yeah, I'm not sure if there is a timeline in which Thanos gets all of the stones.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I'm sure people can think about it.
Yes. It would seem, though, that the world continues on as if everything has happened.
Yes. And then, so they're like, last thing to do, we need to return the Infinity Stones to where they began so we can set off the course of things that lead to us, yada, yada, yada. And they send Captain America, goes back to return them. Yeah, pretty, you know, now about Tony Stark, he's probably the leader of the Avengers now. So he goes and they say, you'll be back in 5 seconds, buddy, for us. And then he doesn't come back. And then they go, oh, no, something's gone wrong. What can we do? They're like, oh, wait, there's an old man sitting over on that bench. It's Captain America. He just decided not to come back and live a full life and hang out with that girl from the 40s.
Yeah, so this was it took a kind of weird turn here where it turns out that Captain America is actually a young Joe Biden. He comes back as present day Joe Biden, and the whole film was actually just a campaign promotion. What a twist. This has to be one of the biggest budget campaign videos I've ever seen. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if they just cut to, like, after they, like, he sat on the bench and, I don't know, said whatever wise old Captain America words, just cuts to Biden 2020. Just like
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this film. yes, so of course it's not Joe Biden. He just kind of looks like Joe Biden. He's an old white guy. Now, I don't know, he's old, he's supposed to be 70 or 80 or something. And he's like, look, I'm not Captain America anymore. I just went and lived the life that I wanted to live because I'm sure there'll be stuff to do in the future, but we took care of most of the bad stuff. Thanos was the main thing that was going on, took care of him. So I wanted to go live the life that I never got to live with the woman that I loved in the 40s. He passes on the shield.
Yeah.
Some guy that was not really in the movie. I do recall from previous movies, what's his freaking name? Anthony Mackie's character.
Is Captain America super strong because there was some radiation? I haven't seen the Captain America movies. Has he got some power or something?
I think it's like a scientific test that the U.S. Army did when he joined. So, yeah, he joins the Army like for World War II or something. And he's like, he's super skinny. And then they're like, we're going to try some scientific test on you. And it makes him like super jacked.
As I remember. The ship, that guy is going to be like as good as him.
He trusts him. He's like, I'm not worthy or whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're more than worthy.
Okay, cool. So then he has this sort of like mac and cheese, Captain America and Iron Man. Captain America's going, yeah, it's not going to be as fun without Tony Stark around. I sort of can't be in it without him. So I'll just, you know, leave now. And we've now set up for a new Avengers to be assembled, I guess. Like maybe, you know, we've still got Thor and Hawkeye and the Hulk from the original crew, but we've got some new exciting characters like Black Panther, and that guy now has the shield, and Captain Marvel joining the fray. So it should be pretty exciting.
What did you think of the Hulk being big all the time? But having
that was sort of weird. It seemed like more like a cartoon thing than I didn't really love that, to be honest. It sort of seemed a bit weird that like all of a sudden he's like, oh, I just went to the lab and sort of figured out how I could just be the Hulk all the time and not and be in control of my stuff.
Because that's kind of a defining thing for the Hulk. He's just a regular guy that's like a smart scientist dude, and then he gets mad and turns into the Hulk, which is awesome, but he can't really control the Hulk. The Hulk's just like a big green ball of rage, or he's now a big green ball of scientist, which I think is funny. But it like long term, does that make sense? You've kind of changed the nature of the character.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see. We'll see. I liked it. We'll see if it works long term though. Okay. All right. So that's pretty much the film.
Jono got this
wrap
football
up.
Game wedding to get to.
Give us your verdict, Matt.
I thought it was pretty exciting. I liked it. I was engrossed in the story. I love Iron Man, so I love he was the star of the show. I thought it's so ambitious how they brought everything together, like the callbacks to four films. It's a little uneven at times. I didn't love every single part about the movie, like as we were just talking about the Hulk. I also think whenever you do a time travel, you're always going to open a little bit of like, does this make sense sort of thing? And I think it largely did, but once or twice had me a bit not sure about it. I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
7.5, not bad.
Yeah, enjoyable movie, good movie.
Yeah, I thought this film did a really good job of following the sort of the threads, the promises, the things that it had set up in the previous films, and kind of seeing them come to fruition. I thought all of those storylines were executed really well, brought together really well. There was some fantastic action scenes. The visuals, obviously, just absolutely phenomenal. And there were some real emotional moments. The loss of Iron Man really hit me. His hologram message really hit me. And it did a good job of kind of balancing the storyline with the character moments. I thought it was quite funny. Probably not one of the funniest Marvel films. I felt like some of them, the others, I enjoyed a bit more in that regard. And I know it's a very complex film and there was a lot to do, but I still felt it was a bit too long. Matt pretty much doesn't like any film that's over 2 hours long. This was over 3 hours long. So the fact that you gave it a 7.5 is astounding. That's an achievement in and of itself.
Look, just to comment on that, since you mentioned me, I do think this film was too long. Like, you could only take it off. But I was pretty into it the whole way. But like, I was not checking my watch much during this movie. Like, I would say this movie did not seem as long as some two-hour movies or two-and-a-half-hour movies.
Yes.
I did not mention that as one of my big detractors of the movie. So this has done quite well for me for such a long runtime.
Yeah, it felt 2.5. So
yeah.
That's a win. I enjoyed the time travel. If I'm just rating it as a time travel movie, probably not one of the best of all time, but there was so much more going on that it wasn't just a time travel movie. So it doesn't lose a lot for that. No real major gripes, just a few little things, but overall, really enjoyed it. Really looking forward to the next installment in the series. I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Nice. I like it. I think I was maybe, if anything, a little harsh on it, like in my score. So I'm glad you went a bit higher than me. Yeah.
We averaged an 8. So
yeah. There
you go. We quite enjoyed it. Let us know what you thought, Avengers Endgame. Just go to facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Somewhere in between. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, no, what was it? Dun, 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 dun. No, no, dun, now I've even lost my bad version.
Dun, 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 dun. Done. Until next time, thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you next week.